This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are glad you are with us. We have got a great guest to kick off today's show, and I don't want to waste any more time. We're going to go right to the phones and kick it off with Eric Gillespie. Eric is with Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and he runs their Bort Canine Academy there. And they do everything. They do boarding and take care of your animals, of course, on the medical side. And we're going to get into all that in just a moment. But Eric, hey, man, thanks for being with us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing really good.
Well, good. And, man, I want to do this way more than we're doing it because I think this is a really, really important topic. And I've even seen some things in our little neighborhood app there in Highlands Ranch. And as late as last night, someone posted something about training. And so I put on there Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center and see Eric. So
thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about, first of all, I mean, I don't know of any other state that's probably has more dogs than our state. I mean, boy, you see them everywhere you go. So, and I'm glad of that. I'm a huge dog lover myself. So, but let's talk about maybe for people, you know, before we get into training them, just say, hey, if you're thinking about getting a pet, here are some things to consider. Because, you know, it drives me crazy sometimes when I see people, and I've had a few even friends of mine that have bought, you know, maybe a dog, a breed that's known for hunting and all that stuff, but that's not their intention or they don't do that with the dog. And, you know, it's not really fair to the dog. So kind of talk about just the thought process of, hey, you think about getting a dog, new puppy, older dog, whatever, you need to think about a few things.
Sure. You know, I think understanding your lifestyle and understanding what you want out of the dog and how much time you can commit to your dog, I think, and keeping things reasonable, exercise is so key in having a great relationship with your dog.
Yep.
And if we can keep them tired, but keep them tired in a way that makes it okay for the owners, so it's not a huge time suck for them. One way that I do it is a flirt pole. It's just a long stick with a toy tied on the end of it, and you play with them like a giant cat. But back to the original question of, you know, what should people think about before getting dogs? A lot of times, dogs that we had when we were younger, that breed isn't quite the same as we had when we have now. For instance, Labs have changed quite a bit. They used to be a really mellow dog, and then a lot of hunters were really enjoying Labs and started to breed them to be a little more energetic. And now we have a Lab that's pretty darn excitable, and it requires a little bit more exercise and stimulation, you know. A lot of times we want to make sure that the stimulation comes from people and not necessarily other dogs. We do have quite a big problem of leash aggression in this country.
Yeah.
And part of the reason we have so many dogs who are leash reactive is because we kind of quit playing with them as humans and we expected them to play with other dogs.
Yeah, right. Eric Gillespie is with us once again, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and you've heard them on our show for several years, and we have been using them for about 13 or 14 years with our pets, and just a great, great place that you can trust, LoneTreeVet.com. They're located 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. Their number is 303-708-8050, 303-708-8050. So now, I assume most people, when they come in and they inquire about your portion of this with the training, they say, you know, I'm frustrated. I've tried to do a lot of things. So what are the most common mistakes that people make?
Not saying the word good enough. I think we need to understand what our secondary reinforcer is, and the word good is what we use typically in our style of training. Telling your dog when they're doing it right is so much more important than telling your dog when they're doing it wrong. Dogs only understand attention that they're getting for the behavior they're doing at the time. For instance, if your dog jumps on you and you tell them off and pet them, a lot of times they think that that's what you want.
Yeah.
Even more so, we might be naming the behavior. So I think a lot of times when people come in and are frustrated, the real solution to the problem is trying to figure out what the dog is actually doing right and also to try to figure out how to make sure that dog repeats that behavior. And that's when a lot of positive reinforcement style training really comes into play.
Sure. And a lot of times you'll see even some TV shows we see. I know our Golden is, you know, very food motivated and treat motivated. So do you do that a lot of times, too, if you're working with them, hand them a little something?
one of the things that is a very common myth in dog training is that if you use food, you're always going to have to use food. One of the key elements of dog training is to use food properly. For instance, first we would use food to lure a dog into a behavior or get them to do something. That's step one. And then we switch to making sure that we're rewarding the dog after they do that behavior. That's step two. And then we start to make sure that we're really random about when we reinforce and how much we reinforce. The idea is that a fixed schedule of reinforcement is great for teaching a dog a new behavior, meaning sit and you get one treat. But a random schedule of reinforcement or a variable schedule of reinforcement is really going to be a slot machine style of training. Once the dog learns a behavior, if you switch to just rewarding them a little bit at a time and then sometimes they get a jackpot, that behavior becomes much stronger. So I think it's quite a myth that using food is cheating, so to speak. It's not. It's a really useful tool in training your dog.
Right. Now, what age? I kind of equate this to kids. You know, a lot of times I say, hey, certain years in a child, you know, from that 3 to 6 years old, man, after 7 or 8, they've already got their behaviors made up. So what kind of age? I mean, we get a new puppy, and usually that's around that 8 to 10 week period. When should they bring them to you?
I think bringing them in for the training pretty quickly is a great idea. So 12 weeks, I think, is fine to have them in classes. The point being is we really want to make sure we take advantage of that young mind and make sure that the socialization is with people as well as dogs. But we get them lots of positive experiences around people. In regards to, you know, how old before they really start understanding training, I think retention really begins to become strong at about 14 weeks.
Okay.
I've seen lots of dogs learn great stuff at 14 weeks and really retain that information throughout their life.
Now, let's talk about the kind of classes you do. I know you do. You have several types. So what's kind of that beginning, intermediate,
sure,
and then, you know, something that maybe do a little longer term?
Sure. I have a perfect puppy class, and my perfect puppy class is for puppies under 6 months. Once they graduate, and that is an AKC Star Puppy Program class, so it's by AKC. So they'll get a title when they get done with that class. The next class is Companion Dog Essentials, and that's building on the puppy class, but more importantly, it's just the basic behaviors that we're trying to get our dogs to do. So sit, down, walking on a leash, come here, leave it, waiting at doors, stuff like that. And then after they pass that Companion Dog Essentials, there's a few different avenues they can go. I am a canine life and social skills evaluator, so we could do the canine life and social skills training. And that's offered by AKC, and that is also a titled class. I'm an evaluator for that. So we could do the AKC CG or class program. We could do a canine good citizen class, and that is offered by AKC, and it is a titled class as well. And then I have some fun classes. So I do a parkour class, and that is street agility. We walk around the neighborhoods, teach our dogs to jump up on boulders and rocks and go under picnic benches and go down slides and have a good time with them. Wow. And then I have an agility for fun. That is just for fun, and that is usually in the middle of the summer and the middle of the winter, so we can do that inside. And then I have a Companion Dog Essentials 2 class, and that's a pretty popular class. I've been offering it for quite some time. You've probably even seen me over at Cabela's with that
class. Oh, man, I've seen you a lot of times.
We take those classes everywhere. So sometimes we'll go to Cabela's, sometimes we'll go to the Bluffs, sometimes we'll go to Aspen Grove. Really wherever the class wants to get their dogs and take them to socialize them and getting them around other people and dogs and performing those behaviors.
Right. And, you know, I've got one of your brochures here, and it looks like all these different things that you've talked about. I mean, everything's less than, you know, $150, and some of these are 5 week, 6 week courses. And, I mean, to get your level, and so I'll brag on you, but, I mean, your level of training and your expertise – for that amount of money, I mean, I was honestly expecting it to be $500 or $600. And I mean,
we keep it that way. My boss, Nancy Moyle, is very, very big on making sure that our classes are affordable and that people can take them. We want people to have well-trained dogs. We believe that that's one of the best ways to give a dog a great life.
Absolutely. Once again, if you're just joining us, this is Eric Gillespie, and he is with Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, and he runs their Canine Academy. So if you are looking to help get your dog some training, I promise you, no matter what level you want to get into, this is a place you can just walk in, see Eric, and he'll get with you and find out the best ones that would be best for you and your pet. Their number is 303-708-8050. And once again, they're located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue. They're in Lone Tree. Now, you talked about the agility one and being out on the street. Let me ask you this. My wife and I, we were just in Seattle this last week for a wedding, and we were watching a baseball game of our nephew at a park, and there's this track. Well, this guy's riding his bike, and then he's got his dog on a leash, and he's riding the bike around the whole track. Well, after about the third time, the dog's tongue is like hanging out the side of his mouth and all the different things. Sometimes I don't think we think as the parent, so to speak, of, hey, you're riding a bike or you're jogging or you're walking. That dog is not built like us. I mean, what are some tips just to say, you know, think of your pet and them being hydrated and not doing that too much?
I agree. It depends on the dog, too. Yeah. Two of the dogs I have right now, Knuckles and Kitty, they're both pit bulls and they're both weight pull dogs. They love to pull weight. Knuckles loves to go for bicycle rides with my wife. And she has an attachment that fits on the hub of the bike so that Knuckles can't really pull her over. Now, she started running Knuckles a couple blocks at a time, and she slowly worked up to the point where they go about a mile.
Right.
But, boy, Knuckles loves it. So I think it kind of boils down to the dog. Making sure the dog's well hydrated and making sure the dog really wants to keep doing it is super important. Water breaks, making sure you're not doing it when it's really hot out, and not overdoing it. Like I say, with Knuckles, we only run at the very most a mile or so.
Okay, good deal. Well, once again, Eric, I want to do this more often with you. A lot of great topics to talk about. And so, man, we appreciate all the good information. And thank you guys and, boy, Nancy, for just your partnership with us here on our show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's
great. Yeah, man, I tell you, we love you guys. And, I can bring Roxy, our golden retriever, there. And,
she
goes right behind the counter, just acts like it.
She kind of owns the place.
Yeah, and, you know, the boarding that you guys offer. And then you've got the medical side. I mean, that's what I like. I mean, everything that you need for your pet is right there under one roof. And I think that's a great... And not only convenience, you guys are open on Sundays, too, if you do the boarding. Sure. So, I mean, it's a great place.
I'm very proud to work here.
I bet, man, for sure. Hey, real quick before we end, July 4th is going to be around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, fireworks. And that is I'm going to get you back on to talk about that a little bit.
Love to.
What are just a couple of tips on that, man, to be with our dogs and yet, you know, not put them in situations because a lot of them will bolt.
Yeah. Start now. That's the big thing. So my big suggestion with technology the way it is right now, we have some useful tools that we're not even using. One suggestion is download the sound of fireworks and change your phone ring to fireworks. Change your email notification to fireworks. Change your text message notification to fireworks. So when these fireworks go off, your dog's, it's obviously not going to be as loud as the real fireworks. They're going to see you walk to their phone. So pretty soon, fireworks are just going to mean that you're going to walk to their phone. If we can desensitize them pretty quickly to the sound of fireworks, and starting now would be the big suggestion, it won't be so stressful when it finally does happen.
Okay, cool. And like I say, I want to get you back on to talk about that a little bit more. But give Eric a call. Let him know you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio. 303-708-8050, LoneTreeVet.com. I promise you, folks. This is a place that you can trust. We've trusted with our pets for, like I say, 13, 14 years, and our pets love it, and we love knowing that they get taken care of at the very best. So thank you so much. All right, Eric, I'll be in touch. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Be sure and check out our website, haystackhelp.com. There you'll find a lot of great companies to do business with. And we will be glad to help you in any way we can. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. Well, we're glad to have David Cishan back in studio with us. David is with the Householder Group, Cishan Financial Services, and has been our financial guy here for several years, and highly, highly recommend, endorse, all the words I can use for somebody you can trust. So I hope you'll give him a call if you want to look into doing some financial planning. And first of all, David, welcome to the show. How are
Thanks,
you, sir?
Thanks, Scott. I'm fine. Nice to be back.
Good to have you. And also great to have Stephanie Cishan Bruno. Stephanie is a practice manager. So
hi there.
Hey, Stephanie. Glad to have you in as well. So, you know, a lot of times people have a plan, but yet maybe they haven't looked at it in a while or really even understand it because maybe their financial planner hadn't educated them like you do, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. But sometimes I always tell people we are quick to get a second opinion on medical stuff. Nobody thinks twice about that. But why don't people get a second opinion on wealth and retirement?
Well, I think what has happened in the past history is when people would come in to other advisors for a checkup, they get sold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of dinners out there, freebies, where they're pushing products. We push education. Makes a big difference. So people get concerned that they're going to get pressured into doing something they don't want to do.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons. And other people do get second opinions that will come in from time to time. And that's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't know everything that's going on just by reading the stuff that the papers want you to read or listening to the shows on TV. So people want to get this second opinion. It's just that what we try to do with folks and when we do our seminars or teach our courses is explain to them, this is education, this is for your benefit. These are the concerns that pre- and post-retirees have, these are the reasons why, and there are a lot of tools that you can choose to help fill those vacancies that you might have in there.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times with that second opinion, I always tell people, you know, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to find out you're on a really good road and everything's good, or, boy, you need to tweak some things. And like I say, we've talked about tax. You just take that one area of taxes. You may have done a great job in saving and all that stuff, but if you don't have the right things in place to help you with taxes, that can hurt you.
That's correct. And when we look at things with people that come in, one of the areas that I do is I actually show them a picture of a house. And I say to them, let's put your assets where in the house that are appropriate. And of course, when you build a house, once you have your plans and your land, what is the first thing that most people do in building a house? What's the first piece of construction?
Foundation.
Foundation. Mm-hmm. Some people choose to have a foundation, like I'm originally from Connecticut, and we have big foundations back there. So if storms come, our house stays intact for the most part. Other people put it on footings, like in eastern New Jersey or down in the south sometimes. Mm-hmm. They don't have a foundation, they have a footing. And, of course, when storms come, the house is under severe attack and can crumble. So what we like to do is show people visually, all right, here your assets. Are they in the foundation? Are they in a footing? And then what's above ground, all right? And again, understanding where those monies are is important because those monies in the foundation are the only monies that are secure. And there's only so many tools you can use to secure those assets or secure the income or protect the principal or protect the income. There's only so many things we can use. You don't have to use them,
right,
but you should know about them.
And sometimes I think, too, when people think, okay, oh, second opinion, well, here's their opinion. Their opinion is going to be for me to scrap everything I've done and just do their thing.
Yep.
You know. And you, and I want to bring this term up, fiduciary, you have to do, and it's bad that there's a term for this, but I mean, wish every business just did what was best for a client, but you are required to do what's best for the client. So explain that.
Yeah. Most advisors have to do things that are suitable for a client. There's a difference between doing things that are suitable for a client and doing things that are in their best interest. For example, several years ago, a number of mutual fund companies were fined quite a bit from the Securities and Exchange Commission because they had brokerage firms selling their mutual funds. They were suitable, but they were selling them because they were getting paid more. Now, is that in the best interest of the client?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Right.
Could be, but probably not. So the SEC had to step in. And that's why keeping that best interest in the client is critical. That's why we spend so much time in asking the clients, what do you want your money to do? How do you want it done?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this? It's important because if you don't have that, you're not gonna offer the type of advice that's gonna meet their objectives ultimately.
Right. Again, David Cishan is with us, and also Stephanie Cishan Bruno is the practice manager. And check out their website, cishanfinancialservices.com. And once again, the number for reconsultation is 720-482-1917. But today we want to tell you about a class they're going to be having that's sponsored by Arapahoe Community College. And so, Stephanie, take a minute and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the class is sponsored by Arapahoe Community College. It's going to be on Tuesday, October 1st and 8th. It's a two-part series from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. 2 hours each session at the Parker campus, and that's located at 15653 Brookstone Drive in Parker. Again, it's a two-hour session, and the cost is $35,
okay,
which the college charges. We do not charge a fee for this. And if anybody is interested, they can call 303-797-5722 to register. They can also register in person or online as well. But calling that number, 303-797-5722, they can get all the information on that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And once again, here's a couple of the things that include. You can attend with a spouse, partner, or guest. You'll get a take-home course textbook or an optional one-on-one consultation. Save your seat now. Space is limited. So as Stephanie said, call 303-797-5722, and it is $35. And again, that is just goes to the college, and they will help you out. So, Stephanie, who do you see come to these seminars? I mean, what are people kind of looking for? Do most of them have things in place, they think, or, I mean, who's coming?
It varies. You have lots of couples. They are post-retirees usually, or one has retired and one spouse is still working. Single people. It runs the gamut, but pretty much they're motivated to learn about maybe what they have, what they don't have. They read about David and they want to meet him. But it's
Who wouldn't?
Of course. Exactly. Yeah. So it basically you get all types. Very right. interesting people, and I've been running these with David for many years, and I've met lots of really great people. So,
and you know, I think it's just as you mentioned, David. It seemed like when I was growing up, people would retire, and man, like I say, 70, 72, you know, they were good, never done, you know, and pass away and all. But now, I mean, 70 doesn't seem too old, you know.
No.
And then, you know, how do you plan for, you know, maybe 20, 25 years after that?
And that's where it takes a little bit of focus, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll see people from time to time that are going to retire now, like real quick. And they'll say to me, well, I think I really have to pay attention now. Well, they should have been paying attention quite a bit longer.
Right.
All right. And so they're at many times they can be at a little bit of a deficit here.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do? There are solutions, but they're not the easiest ones.
Right.
You know, the easiest ones is that we have enough assets and we can convert some of those assets into income now or in the near future that will help counter inflation and taxation so that our purchasing power doesn't get destroyed over those 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to start now.
Sure.
And it should start earlier than later. There's no questions. Quite a few number of people that are referring their children to us.
Mm-hmm.
And their children are, you know, 25, 35, 40 even. And trying to tell them that they really got to pay attention and start doing something.
Right.
And so we've been working this last 2 months with several of those kinds of folks, and it's really interesting. They do want to do. They're concerned that the information that were being given was slanted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know if it's the millennials or whomever the situation is.
Right.
So you got to start and you got to approach that as a different launch pad.
Right. Great information. And Stephanie, run us through one more time on the class.
Sure. It's Tuesdays, October 1st and 8th from 1 to 3 p.m. And it's going to be held at Arapahoe Community College in Parker. And that's at 15653 Brookstone Drive. The cost is $35, which the college charges. And to get more information or to register, the phone number is 303-797-5722, and that is direct to the school, and they can get everybody registered.
Okay, great. Make that call now. Get your spot reserved. Seating is limited. Call 303-797-5722, and check out David's website, cichonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. Well, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
David, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
We'll look forward to our next visit. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of Haystack Help Radio.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
After an accident, think about flesh and Beck Law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation. But you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Marie Christine today. Marie, good to have you back in studio with us.
Good to be here. It's been a few weeks.
You've been busy.
Ready to talk about my health again.
Absolutely. And with that, we always do it with Integrated Health Systems and Dr. Shane Stedman, or one of his team members. So, Dr. Stedman, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Doing great. I saw you were traveling again this weekend, as you often do.
Yep. I was in gorgeous Seattle. It's a good time of year to be there.
Really? No umbrella needed?
No, it rained on Sunday, but it was on Friday and Saturday, so yeah, it rained. But and then I heard you can tell the tourist between, you can tell who's a tourist and not by who has the umbrellas.
Exactly.
The natives don't use them anymore. They've given up?
Nope. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Victoria, of course, my wife, you know, she's from Seattle, and she, I think that's one of the highest places where they sell sunglasses is in Seattle, because everybody forgets where they put them, and they have to buy new ones between the time the sun comes out. So they just have a high rate of selling sunglasses in Seattle.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, Dr. Stedman is with us, and we've been talking these last few weeks about blood sugar, and they're having a webinar coming up. We'll talk a little bit later about on Tuesday at 6:30 on October 1st. But just a great, great topic here.
So, Dr. Stedman, let's start out really simple. What is our goal? What are we striving for with blood sugar?
You're striving to keep it stable throughout the day.
Stability. Okay, that's something we all want. We all want stability in our lives. So what do we start with?
So in order to create stability, we need to start off our day with a good fat and a good protein. So it could be eggs and avocados, or it could be, you know, eggs and turkey sausage. So starting off with some good fat and good protein starts the stability from the very, very beginning of the day.
So let's look at the other end of that. If you don't have stable blood sugar in the mornings, how might that affect you negatively?
You know, actually, I just had this conversation with a consultation today. It always works out, doesn't it?
Yep, every time.
So she's an 18-year-old female, and she is, so her complaints today were, so she gets some headaches, jittery, shaky, fatigue, and her menstrual cycle is kind of all over the place. And so I was going through her blood work, and her blood sugar is really, really low. And I swear people are thinking, he just made this up for this show. I didn't. Her blood sugar is super duper low. So I asked, okay, when do you have dinner? She said, well, I usually eat about 6:30 or 7. I said, when do you have breakfast? She said, I skip breakfast. I said, okay, so what do you do for lunch? And she goes, I'll have like a salad and some chicken. I'm like, great, so you go 17 hours without eating.
Oh, boy.
And then you're complaining of fatigue and jittery and shaky and lightheaded and irritable. I was like, wow. Okay, first thing we got to do is we have to get you eating breakfast.
Eat some food, girl.
Yeah, she's like, I don't like doing breakfast. I don't ever feel hungry. And so we actually ran her saliva. So we did a saliva cortisol panel looking at her stress hormone. And the crazy thing is her stress hormone, first thing in the morning, is skyrocketed. And I'm like, well, this is why you don't feel good the first thing in the morning and you don't feel like eating is because your stress hormone is super high. But probably your stress hormone's high because you haven't been eating. So something has to carry you. So you've created a stress response to get you through the evening and through the day. So we need to start eating. So literally that was a conversation that I had about 2 hours ago with an 18-year-old. So that's what happens if you don't eat. You get shaky, lightheaded, irritable, moody, anxious. You can get tremors. You have a hard time focusing. You can feel dizzy. You can have blurred vision.
Great way to start your day, in other words.
100%, right?
Wow.
Well, so I'm interested. You're saying that the stress hormone, your stress response, is related to whether you've eaten. How is that connected?
Well, because we have this storage of glucose that's in our liver. And in order to tap into that storage, you have to create a stress response. So it's almost like in case of an emergency, break glass, right?
Oh.
But in order to break glass, we got to have an emergency. So if you're not eating, then you have to create a stress response to tap into those storage tanks.
That's interesting. It reminds me of my car. I was having a coolant issue in my car. And, you know, there's the regular place where the coolant is stored, and then there's sort of the reserve tank. And you don't want to tap into that reserve tank if you can help it. It sounds sort of similar.
100%. That's a great, I love that analogy too. Yeah, so when you start tapping into the reserves, you know, then your reserves start going down. And this is when you start seeing people that have really low blood sugar because they don't have enough reserves to even just fuel your system throughout the night and day. So then your adrenaline system is just kicking in to keep you in survival mode so that you can maintain function throughout the day.
Kind of another good car analogy may be there. Hey, it's tough to have a flat and then open your trunk and your spare is flat. You got nothing. Wow.
You don't want to have to use that spare if you can help
exactly.
it, right?
Exactly. Correct.
You know, so now this story you just went through, explanation there. And Marie and I, we were talking a little bit before the show started. And I remember my mother, she passed away of something called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And they use that word idiopathic, which I assume that means there's something they can't explain. So when you talk about blood sugar, are there times that you run up against something where you look at everything, blood's work is, you know, doesn't have any red flags or whatever, so they've got high blood sugar, but there's really no explanation for it? Or is there always an answer?
My feeling is there's always an answer.
Okay.
Rarely do we run to idiopathic. We actually have a patient right now that his blood sugar runs low, and we've actually done a lot of things with him, and for some reason it keeps having these weird fluctuations. And it seems like he's doing everything right, and I think we're doing everything right, you know, but there's still like a weird fluctuation. So we actually been doing some researching, trying to figure out what's going on. So in my opinion, and we told him, I think there's a reason for it all. So it's just a matter of us trying to figure it out. So I think with high blood sugar especially, it's either going to be lifestyle, diet, and then stress. I think a lot of people don't realize that stress is a factor. So just the three of us, I mean, if we're sitting in a very, very stressful place day after day after day after day, well, that stress hormone still taps into your blood sugar tank, you know, so you're still getting this, like, in case of an emergency, break glass, but the problem is you're also consuming enough carbs, you know, and enough food. So then all of a sudden, and you kind of see this with a little bit overeating too. So if you're kind of overeating a little bit or maybe pleasure eating and then you're super stressed and then you stress eat, well, now you're putting fuel in, you're dipping into your fuel tank, and sometimes just stress can be another cause that's driving up blood sugar. So there always has to be a cause. It's just a matter of where it's coming from.
So something you've mentioned before, Dr. Sebin, is there can be a correlation between caffeine intake and stress. So I just looked this up. Americans consume 400 million cups of coffee per day, 146 billion per year. The United States is the leading consumer of coffee in the world. How might that be impacting stress?
Absolutely.
Man, yeah. We need to invest in coffee.
I've actually known people who have done that. Like, they're like, this is a great place to invest in.
I'm buying Starbucks stock.
Yeah, speaking of Seattle. Exactly. And that's just, then you look at your energy drinks, you know, and energy pills and stuff like that are out there. I mean, and the thing with all of these, and you see this a lot with people that have low blood sugar, is that they have this stress response that doesn't really make them feel hungry. So they lose their appetite first thing in the morning, but they have to have some kind of fuel. So they start going towards your caffeine and energy drinks and cigarettes and things that will stimulate the adrenals even more to kind of keep breaking glass so that you have fuel. So then this is where you start ending up this really weird, vicious, unhealthy cycle. And so that's a lot of times what we see with people that have these low blood sugar symptoms.
Right.
And with this girl you're talking about, this 18-year-old, that's kind of tough when you don't feel hungry in the morning, but you know you're supposed to eat. What do you do in that situation when you're not hungry?
I beg her. I plead,
please,
beg, bargain
please.
to put something in her mouth in the morning. You know, I've heard some other speakers that lectured on this topic, and sometimes they become like smart alecks. And so they say, we put together a treatment plan. Your treatment plan is to, step one, open the refrigerator. Step two, put your arm inside it.
Right.
Step three, grab something. That's almost how this becomes sometimes, because you don't feel like eating. The thought of food isn't really awesome, so therefore you don't eat. But what usually happens when people actually start eating, and this is always funny, they go, well, now I'm hungry in the mornings, like it's a bad thing.
Mm.
Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. Your body's actually saying, hey, instead of me providing fuel internally, why don't you provide fuel externally? And so you'll start seeing that shift where people actually now start becoming hungry and, you know, just like a normal person should. But it takes a little bit, and you have to really get over this hump of not feeling like you want to eat something.
Well, and I would imagine, especially from a young woman's perspective, feeling hungry in the morning, maybe the reason that seems like a negative is because you're worried about getting fat, right? And if you eat more in the day, you think you're going to get fat. So, but weight loss, when you put your stress levels down, that helps weight loss, right?
Yeah, no, it can definitely help. And actually, it's funny. Actually, I had this conversation with a guy about an hour ago. So I was like, hey, you look good. Cause I've been working with his wife. And so he brings her in, they're an older couple. And I was like, hey, you look good. You definitely keep losing weight. And he goes, yeah. He goes, the funny thing is he goes, I stopped losing weight and I was actually kind of gaining. And then I didn't realize, he goes, somebody told me, well, you have to eat all the time. If you don't eat, you can gain weight. And so he goes, then I started eating again. And he goes, because he was cutting out his lunch. So he started adding lunch back in and started eating snacks, and he started losing weight again. And I think a lot of people don't realize that when you don't eat or your blood sugar dips, you create a stress response, and you can't lose weight under stress. It's not a physiological response. And so, you know, stress and inflammation really hinder the weight loss piece. So actually eating, you know, smaller meals and keeping your blood sugar stable, it really reduces the stress, and then it increases metabolism. So people feel better, they have better energy, they're losing weight, you know, and it's a good spiral effect when you eat versus spiraling downward.
There you go, Scott. We got to eat more to lose some weight.
I'm ready. Dr. Shane Stedman is our guest, Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com. And once again, Tuesday, October 1st, 6:30, they're going to be having a webinar with Dr. Perry Maynard on staff there with Integrated Health Systems. And for more information, you can give them a call, 303-781-5617. But tell us a little about this seminar, and I assume just discussing kind of what we've been doing the last few weeks.
You know, absolutely. Dr. Maynard is going to go into talking. We're going to talk about blood sugars from a high and low standpoint, and I think talking about diabetes. You know, there's now kind of considered four different types, and we talked a little bit on the show too over the years. But you got type 1, type 2, type 1.5, type 3. So kind of going into those different types of diabetes and what does it look like, what are some of the symptoms, you know, and then trying to give some like information, like this is what you can do, you know, things that you can try to do to work on it, or what does it mean, you know. So you got some of them that are autoimmune based. Versus some of them are diet and lifestyle based, you know, so they're two totally different treatment plans. I know he's also going to go into like intermittent fasting,
mm-hmm.
and because this is a big deal right now out in the public. Everybody's doing keto and everybody's doing intermittent fasting, you know, so really kind of talking on that and what does it mean, because there's actually dirty keto and there's clean keto. And what you kind of see is a lot of people are kind of doing like the dirty ketogenic diets, you know, so they're kind of eating, you know, it's like two sticks of butter, you know, with their bacon. You know, it's like, well, that's
gross.
Sure, that's keto, but
Ew. That's
probably not going to be great for you, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or just drenching everything with cheese and butter, you know, over a steak. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. that's kind of dirty keto. So, you know, really kind of diving into what it means to actually do that the right way, to do intermittent fasting the right way. Because people with low blood sugar, we really don't do intermittent fasting with. People with diabetes, we will, but sometimes you got to be careful on them too. So
sure.
Not everything is a protocol, and you can't just say, well, keto is good for everybody, because
yep.
It's not just good for everybody. There's mm-hmm. certain people that it's awesome with, and so that's what we want to really educate people during the webinar.
Well, and real quick, for somebody who's not familiar with the webinar, so you're not going in person to see Dr. Maynard, how does that work?
Absolutely. So so we have a link, so we'll have it on our, we have it on our Facebook page, which is Integrated Health, right? Sorry.
Yeah. You're right.
I still have jet lag. Integrated Health, so that's our Facebook page, and also Integrated Brain Centers is our brain Facebook page. So we definitely have the link on there. You can always go to our website, Integrated Health Denver, and if you sign up for the newsletters, it's in the newsletter. And then, and I'm sure, I imagine usually we'll post it on Haystack or something like that too. But you
sure, yeah, I always link. Share your stuff, yeah.
Yeah. If you click the link, it'll take you right to the registration page, and then you just put in your information so that before the day of, I think it's like 45 minutes out, the system will actually send out a reminder saying, hey, the webinar starts at 6 o'clock, and you just open up your computer, you sit back, you can have a glass of wine, I don't care, sit on the patio, and just listen to the webinar. So it's a great way of getting some free information, knowing a little bit more about us and how we work, and if that's something that could be a great fit, maybe we can help people out, that'd be awesome. If not, then take the information and try it, learn it, just enjoy what you did and move on. So
absolutely,
it's easy, no hassle, no mess, no fuss. Sit at your home, listen to us talk.
Right. Great. And for people who aren't on Facebook, that website is integratedhealthdenver.com. Just find the webinar link, click on it, you're good to go.
And actually, I just looked it up here. It's anymeeting.com.
Anymeeting.com.
Yep. That's your link for it. And there's some other things. But Integrated Health Systems on Facebook, you can go right to that, and it's the first thing on there, so you can check that out. And again, free of charge. All you have to do, if you have questions, call them at 303-781-5617. We know our segment, the next thing we want to hit after caffeine was about sleep. And I was doing some reading this morning. And I don't know of one person in my life that thinks they get enough sleep ever. I mean, not one. We all seem sleep deprived. And I was reading on this thing about blood sugar, and it said lack of sleep can have all kinds of negative health impacts. But what you might not have considered is how it can affect your blood sugar levels.
Absolutely. It kind of goes back, I guess to keep it simple for everybody, it kind of goes back to stress. If you are stressed, or you have a stressful situation, a stressful job, a stressful marriage, it is really hard to maintain good blood sugar because you're constantly like breaking glass in emergency, and you're kind of doing that throughout the day. I think people do forget about sleep, that if you don't get good quality sleep, or if it's broken up, or you go to bed super late and get up earlier, whatever the case may be, your body has to create a stress response in order for you to continue functioning. So that stress response is, hey, I know you didn't get a lot of sleep. You probably don't have good energy, so I'm going to tap into some fuel tanks that we have. I'm going to dump some more energy into the system so that you can have a good day. You can go to work and get things done. And if this happens day after day after day, it really starts to make it tough to regulate your sugar response, your stress response. And this is where you start seeing some of these like chronic sleep issues and insomnias and, things like that. So it's definitely important. And unfortunately, you kind of see this with like night shift workers. You see this with nurses. I've heard this sometimes. You see this with like morning radio personalities that get up super duper early, So there's definitely kind of those groups of people that don't get enough sleep, and they can really have impacts on them as time goes on.
So what do you do to bridge that gap between your blood sugar and your sleep? Because for me, I know when I'm having a stressful situation, I need to be thinking about getting enough sleep. But my problem is I go to bed early, lay in bed and stare at the ceiling for 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I think supplements are actually great. You do have medications, and I think medications can be great, but sometimes, to me, those are like, you know, pulling out the big guns. You know, sometimes you just, you can use simple things. They call them like adaptogens. There's certain herbs like ashwagandha, rhodiola, that people can use that can actually really normalize that stress response. Some people use GABA type of herbs, so G-A-B-A. And what GABA is, it's a part of your brain chemistry that helps you calm down and go to sleep. So chamomile tea, kava kava, those different things that, you know, if you go to your local like supplement store, like there's usually something like that. Even people use 5-HTP. You know, 5-HTP can help people go to sleep. Melatonin can help people sleep. You know, so you can try some really simple things like that to, you know, during like these temporary situations that can help you go to sleep. And I think that's better when you start getting into like insomnia disorders. Usually, you know, sometimes I even have to bring out big guns. But, you know, we all kind of, like last night I got in at 11:30 my time and was trying to go to bed at, you know, midnight. And it was like I was just still kind of like my brain was still spiraling from driving from DIA, Kansas to my house and, you know, and the airplane and all that stuff like that. So I was still kind of like laying in bed just so tired that I couldn't get my brain to shut off. You know, so those are kind of those moments where you go, okay, let me take some adaptogenic herbs or some chamomile tea or some 5-HTP, and let me see if I can just help myself out temporarily.
Okay, and some of those supplements that you just rattled off were brand new to me. Ashwagandha, I feel like I'm in yoga class or something. But anyway,
yeah.
It's a Dr. Stedman and his team are really good about knowing what the best herbs are and what the best brands are. So go in for that free consultation, get some advice. Don't just go to the health store and pick random things off the shelf. Get some advice on that first. And those ones that you named, call in and you can say them more slowly and spell them out. But real quick on the blood sugar thing too, we've talked about caffeine, we talked about sleep. Some research that Scott and I were doing before the show said that even the weather can affect your blood sugar. Have you ever heard of that?
You might have to send that one to me. I haven't seen that. You know, I know, well, I know barometers definitely play a big role on brain function. You know, so whenever the barometer goes down, it could definitely throw off how your brain is firing, you know, that day. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen those studies like that yet.
Yeah, this one just said blood sugar can rise and fall with a thermometer to a certain extent. And it says, you know, whether it be a sweltering hot or bitterly cold, it can interfere with like diabetes management. People with diabetes vary in the way their body responds to heat, something like that. So,
well, and that one, that's a little harder to control. Yeah. You can control caffeine, sleep, things like that, but the weather, out of your control.
Yeah. Well, I might have to research that one more. That's a new one to me.
Yeah. And here's one, you know, because I think a lot of people, they figure, you know, there's all these artificial sweeteners, too. And I was reading about, because, I mean, man, growing up in Dallas and sweet tea and, man, we would just pour regular sugar in our tea. Well, now there's all these sweeteners and people think they're doing good. But this article I was reading, it said, and again, I start out with testing on mice, and it said testing on mice shows that artificial sweeteners had blood sugar levels higher than those that were given the real thing.
You know, I think that's a great point you bring up, because that has kind of been like a misconception out there that they're like, well, we're not giving you a sugar, so it shouldn't mess with it. But what people have talked about and some of the research I've read over the years is that when you put something on your tongue, it starts to trigger things. You know, and I think people forget that digestion starts in the mouth. You know, so if you put something in your brain as like, this is super sweet, you know, then you start creating these physiological response. It's like you're priming the pump, you know. So that's kind of been some of the controversy on those out there, is that people think that they're doing great and they're not ingesting anything that deals with blood sugar, but they're still showing that you can get like insulin surges and really kind of messing things up because your brain thinks that there's something sweet coming down the pipe. So it's really fascinating you bring that up. I agree, and that's kind of one of the reasons why we're just it's almost in a weird way. I think over the years, the more I read, the more I listen, the more I see patients, it's almost better to not do the sweeteners and just do like straight up sugar, you know, because it is not
that's
as
my doctor. That's
or not
my
messing
doctor.
Up people.
Just have sugar, Scott.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see like some of the sodas, you know, if somebody had to have a soda, I'm like, go have a soda with like, you know, cane sugar in it.
Sure.
You know, real sugar. Don't get the stuff that has all these sweeteners, because I think that could be more more detrimental.
Well, that's interesting because we actually, my husband's grandparents were visiting over the weekend, and she's a diabetic, and she always has hard candies on hand and, you know, diet soda and all these sweet things that aren't real sugar. And I wonder if that's not always helpful, if it's almost like a crutch and it'd be better to just have sweets sometimes, but in moderation. What do you think about that?
I've thought the same way, too. I mean, those are things that I think when I see people and what they do, you know, or sometimes I'll look at things like some of these artificial sweeteners, and then you look at the health concerns around those, and I'm like, man, at the end of the day, I'd rather do cane sugar in moderation than to end up with, like, migraines or, you know, brain issues, you know, or numbness and tingling, or some of these kind of funky things that you hear about with artificial sweeteners. I'm like, just do the cane sugar moderation, clean up your diet, and you'll probably drop your blood sugar.
Right, because it's almost like you maintain the dependence on it. If you're having it day in and day out with every meal, even if it's not real sugar, then you have to have it all the time.
Yeah, and sometimes I see people like have a false sense of blood sugar stability or managing their blood sugar with some of these diets, you know, diet products. The craziest thing I think I ever saw is I worked at when I was in college in high school. I worked at a restaurant that had pasta, and you would see people, and they would come in and they would order a Diet Coke, and then they would order like the most heavy pasta dish out there, and I'm like, well, what was the point of the diet soda?
Right.
Might as well just enjoyed the real thing. You know, it's like you maybe your blood sugar is better, but you might have a heart attack.
Yeah,
you know, so and that's a lot of servers would comment on this, and still to this day, you kind of see that where they do a sweetener, but then they're like out, you know, just not taking care of themselves on another end. I'm like, I don't know. It comes down to education, and that's where I think our job as doctors is to try to educate people on what to do and what not to do, and give them the best advice we can.
It's like, Scott, when you go to Wendy's and you see somebody order a Frosty and a diet soda.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't really help.
That works, yeah. Well, again, education, that's why we're doing this. October 1st, Tuesday at 6:30, it is a webinar all about blood sugar, everything you need to know, and Dr. Perry Maynard is going to be conducting that. For more information, go to 303. You can give them a call at 303-781-5617. Check them out on Facebook, Integrated Health Systems, Integrated Brain Centers as well. And Dr. Stebbins, about 30 seconds left here, but I want to touch on this because articles hit this too about smoking and blood sugar. And it said blood samples exposed to nicotine raise the blood's A1C level, which we all know is the marker for blood sugar control. So what challenge for those that are still smoking today? We need more time for that, I know.
And I think a lot of those people that smoke, they know that they need to stop. I think the thing there is showing is like it has a wide variety of impact. It's not just like on lungs, but on inflammation and blood sugar, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think everything we do does not just affect the one system, but it has impacts on multiple systems throughout your body. So we just have to remember that we're a human organism with multiple parts that we can't separate ourselves into separate compartments.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Dr. Stebbins, hey, we'll cut you loose. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to our visit next week.
All right. You guys have a great week.
All right. That's Dr. Shane Stebbins, Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com. Their number for that free consultation Marie spoke of, 303-781-5617. Marie, thank you so much.
Good to be here, Scott.
Thank you for joining us for Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stebbins live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.